Another clutch three-pointer late for Kevin Porter Jr. Just added to the list as the Houston Rockets top the Utah Jazz on the road in Utah, 116-111. What a game. We're going to break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, where we sincerely thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Joining us now to talk about this impressive Rockets road win is none other. He's here every single week. Roosh Williams, host of the Noble and Roosh Show on ballislife.com. Wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to that show. Go check it out. It's an amazing show. And then also, you got to check out our guy, Ryan Hollins, who's joining us to talk about this Rockets win, part of your Houston Rockets broadcast team. Roosh, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. It was a very eventful night for a variety of reasons. So thank you for having me. The Mastodon is in the building, baby. Let's get it.
Ryan, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. It's always great to have you. And it's always great to have you two here together. And it seems like whenever we can't be the Three Musketeers. We got to come up with a cooler nickname than that. But whenever the vibes are good with the Rockets, it's always good to have you in the building. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, brother. I don't know. The big three is kind of like, that's kind of used, right? So I don't know if we're the triplets. I don't know. Who knows?
Let me get to the drawing board and I will come up with something with some gold for us. So,
but the Mastodon will be in effect with the drawing board is what's going to happen.
The way that this came together though, is it really pleases me. It's fun. It's awesome. And it's cool that the Rockets, you know, other fan bases don't really have, you know, this kind of thing, kind of vibe going. So
I've never seen a fan base like this ever.
Feel me?
Rockets fans are built different, man. And it's great to have great representation and connections with the organization, to have one of our Rockets broadcasters here to talk about a huge Rockets road win, 116-111 over the Utah Jazz. And I mean, there's so many different things we're going to be able to talk about from this game. Where I want to start though, guys, Kevin Porter Jr. He comes away 15 points, 8 assists, only one turnover on the night, shot 6 of 12 from the floor, and had yet another clutch three-pointer down the stretch. Identical play. For anybody that's been listening to Locked On Rockets, if you listened to our last episode with Ali Khambejani, we broke down in our film room episode the wiper play that they ran against the Washington Wizards, leading to KPJ's game winner. We saw that exact same play ran late against the Utah Jazz. Eric Gordon comes up, slips the screen, Mike Conley follows him, and then you got KPJ dancing, goes into the step back, drains the three. He has been so clutch over this last week. It's been really impressive to watch, right, Ryan?
No, man, it has. And you guys did a great job with your limited graphics to draw the play up. I was like, am I sitting here watching these guys draw this up? I was so entertained by that, and hopefully to see more of it. But to me, Kevin Porter Jr., the confidence that he builds to step up and take those shots, it's rare. And if we think on our hand around the league or players that we don't like, all right, like who are the type of guys that step up and hit the shots? Okay, we've seen James Harden, we've seen LeBron, we've seen Durant, we've seen Curry. The list of players that hits the shots that he's capable of hitting has to excite you, and you understand why the organization is working with him and trying to get him to where he needs to go. And I think back to the other night, the Sacramento win. You guys heard me. I was pulling my hair out over the turnovers. And the reason I was is because as a former player, when you bust your butt so hard and something that you can control is turning the ball over and you end up losing because one of those turnovers, you're sick to your stomach. But I love that Kevin Porter Jr. and Coach Steven Silas learned from those turnovers and said, man, how can we fix these little things to play winning basketball? So you're seeing the team develop confidence. And the thing that I get worried about is a team getting too high or too low, but developing confidence and starting with Kevin Porter Jr. just to make the right plays. And Roosh, you know, to me, outside of the loud shots that he hits, what I love about Kevin Porter's game tonight is it wasn't loud. You had to look on the stat sheet and see all the amazing things that he did tonight. So I love the place that he's falling into, and he's one of the rare players that are hitting those shots.
Yeah, look, you nailed it. I mean, the list of guys that hit those types of shots is not long, right? And that's an intangible. It's not something that you're going to like see in like necessarily in a draft evaluation or whatever. You know, it's like he's just got the cojones, and when it's time, he's ready for it. Like, you can't measure that. You just have to see it and wait for it to play out. Now he's done it, what, two or three times? Same exact play. It's crazy because when he did it against Washington, I remember, and I think I told Jackson this, my gut reaction was, oh, don't shoot it, not that shot. And then he made it, and I was like, oh, damn, okay. But tonight when it happened, I saw it, I was like, oh, that's the same play, with except it's Eric Gordon instead of Jalen Green. And I knew exactly what he was about to do, and I felt good about it. I was like, let's get it. You know, he's about to shoot it. And he did and nailed it. And when he did, it's like I wasn't even surprised. It was just like, yo, this kid has it. So that I'm extremely impressed with the way he's bounced back. I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that he deleted his Twitter. And ever since he deleted his Twitter, he's just been playing on a different level. Maybe drowning out the noise has helped him. But 7 points, 6 assists in the first quarter. 0 turnovers in the first quarter. The only alarming thing is that he kind of went ice cold, or not ice cold. He just kind of, you know, didn't really make his presence felt between the first quarter and the fourth. But even that being said, ended up with 1 turnover, exponential growth, man. And look, I don't necessarily want to go there, but it maybe my memory is just short and I'm tripping off recency bias, but I don't know if I remember James Harden hitting this many big threes. I mean, he had huge threes, but like, it feels like Kevin Porter Jr. in the clutch is extremely reliable already, or is becoming that way. So it's insane to see the kid's growth, man. 21, like if he gets that three ball down, he's up to 34% from three on the season. And at one point he was at like 29 or 30%. So it's climbing at a legitimate rate. If he gets that three ball down like this, that's going to do more for his growth than anything else, because he's such a lethal scorer getting to the basket. If he's able to shoot that three, no one can stop him. And he's starting to put the vision together. He just needs players to cut for him. Like, he was working really well with Jayshon Tate in the first quarter. And look, if he puts all that together like that, man, give him a couple years. And this really could be what Rockets, the Rockets organization and Rockets fans have been hoping for.
Can I throw this in real quick? He reminds me of if James Harden didn't know how to draw fouls. I know that sounds crazy, but like, so for a guy who dances and dribbles as a defender, I want to get physical with you. I want to reach. I want to grab. I want to hold. And when you go to reach on James, he grabs your arm and goes through it. You know, he makes a play that makes you go, dang, I can't guard this guy. Kevin doesn't know how to make those, you know, draw those fouls. So he gets in trouble where he goes to dance and guys just grab and hold instead of, you know, going under the arm. So that's like the next development of Reed that I think could take him to the next level. And a lot of people criticize James for drawing those fouls, but if you don't draw those fouls, the defenders get so aggressive with you, Jackson.
You know, that's an incredible point, because I think we see a lot of times, right, where KPJ he's adept at driving, right? He can beat his man off the dribble. He can get into the lane. That's not the issue. It's figuring out that next step in his game, being able to draw that contact successfully, not necessarily shying away from it. We see him go to a lot, right? That kind of like, he'll get into the teeth of the defense and then he opts for that little like kind of fade away, you know, pull up and kind of hang in the air a little bit. And he doesn't really convert that shot at a super high clip, unfortunately. So it's, you know, getting that next level step and figuring out, okay, I'm going to go straight into the big man. I'm going to be a little bit more shifty with where I put the ball so that, you know, defenders are tempted to try and like swipe at it, that kind of thing, and then rise up and power through those arms to then get to the foul line. Cause you're right. If he starts getting to the foul line at an exponential clip and starting to hit the three ball the way that he has been, I mean, we're going to have a problem on our hands for the rest of the league.
Yeah, he only gets to the line about 3 times a game. So if he was able to get that up to like 5 or 6, all of a sudden.
And he's getting raked.
Yeah, he is, yeah. And like Ryan said, though, all of a sudden it changes how people guard you, because he's kind of doing what he's doing with no space, you know? Like, dudes are either backing up off of him and just daring him to shoot, but now that he's starting to prove that he can shoot, Now they get back up on him. And so, like, he needs to manipulate that and use that against them so that they have to basically pick or choose.
I definitely want to get into the flow of this game because I think the changing of the momentum really took place in the third quarter when the Rockets went on that monster run where we got a sighting of Armani Brooks, who broke out of his slump. Garrison Matthews hit some big shots. We had some really impressive play from the Rockets bench unit. We're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action of 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website where when you sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. Listen to Locked On Now wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to this podcast, you can check out Locked On Now. Continuing on now with Roosh and Ryan Hollins. So let's talk about that third quarter, right? So the Rockets kind of came out a little flat in the third. Jazz go up big, you know, leading by as many as 13. And then the Rockets really started to turn things around, tail into that third quarter, sparked by the play of the bench unit, Garrison Matthews, Armani Brooks, Josh Christopher, KJ Martin, Alperen Şengün, guys that Steven Silas highlighted post-game when talking about kind of where this game really got itself turned around. And I think in that moment, in that stretch, Ryan, shout out, you had that minor little slip up with Armani Brooks, called him Armani Bricks by accident, but then immediately caught yourself. And then you followed it up and said, my guy is going to go hit a three for me right now. And then he didn't just hit one. He didn't hit two. He hit three threes in a row, making it an 18-1 run for the Houston Rockets. And that spurt in that third quarter was huge for them getting back into this game. Right, Ryan?
All right. For one, they freaked me out because they gave up two dunks to start the third quarter. And we're like, oh no, like as a young team, the first two possessions are so big, you know, the first 5 minutes, all that is all key. I'm going to do a bit of snitching here. And I think I'm going to tell the story behind it. Right. So before the break, about a segment or two ago, we come out the break and Craig is like, oh my God, did I say, he thought he just said a bad word on air. He was like, did I say the wrong thing? And we're like, nah, Craig, you said like coming to break or whatever, like going out. And he's like freaking out, like, did I just say the wrong thing? And we're like, nah, like you're good. Like we all heard, we would say something. And he's freaking out and we're laughing about like, nah, bro, you're good. Like, go ahead. And I'm looking at Armani and I don't know why I couldn't say Brooks. I said Bricks. I couldn't say, I don't know. I know he's been in a slump. And you know, like, he is my guy. We talk to each other all the time. Like, we buy, like, that's my dude. So I would never shoot him like that. And then, like, I'm like, oh my God, like, what did I just say? And I'm like, dang, like, the worst thing I could have said about my dude who's in a slump. And Craig starts laughing. I'm like, no, like, guys, just so you know, I meant to say Brooks. And Craig's rolling. And who makes it even worse, you couldn't see her. Behind a plexiglass case is Kaylee on the other side, and Kaylee loses her. She loses. Kaylee is done, bro. We're glad her mic is off, and she's rolling. She's like, oh my God, her hands in her face. She's like, she turning beet red. She is losing it. And I'm like, look, if anything I know about my guy, he's going to hit his next shot or two. He's going to get hot. Like, don't trip. Like, he's good. Y'all know I got faith in these boys. He messed around and hit that shot, man. Me and Craig. Oh, and it's funny, like the ball wasn't even going to him. It's like, the ball goes to Brooks and he hits it. And we're like, oh gosh. Then he could have steal or something. He messed around and hit another one. The boy goes on a 9-0 run. So we lost it. Like, it was one of the coolest things. And like, that just turned the game. Like, I don't even know, like, Roosh, bro. Like, I'm still trying to make sense of what happened in the game. There was so much that happened, well, look, but just behind the scenes, we're acting up.
Let me tell you this. So, third quarter, I don't even know. I don't know what happened at the buzzer. What did Christian Wood do? I was eating a cheeseburger, and I bent over. Like, I saw the Jazz scored, so there was, like, 2 seconds left or whatever it was, and I was like, all right, cool, end of the quarter. So I bent over, I grabbed my burger, and I bite into it, and then I just hear you and Craig going crazy, and I was like, huh? And there was no replay, and it was just like, that was it. So,
well,
I don't
first know. Off, Roosh, you got to know to check my timeline. If something cool happens, you know it's going to be on my timeline on Twitter. So happened is they inbounded the ball with like 2.5 seconds left. Gary Bird took like 2 dribbles and passed it forward to Christian Wood. Christian catches it just in front of the half court line and heaves it. I'm talking, the ball goes off camera. Like, you can't even see it. It is a true like moonshot of the game, whatever the plug is for AT&T. And it lands in the bucket. And that's when Ryan and Craig absolutely lose their minds, because you really couldn't see the ball on the screen. It disappeared for like 2 seconds.
I'm telling you, I just put my head down, took a bite, and I just heard, oh, and I was like, huh? Oh, what? But look, man, can't say enough about Gary Bird. Okay. My guy, 5 of 9 from 3, 23 points. It sucks that he missed those 2 free throws at the end, because he would have set the season high, but I think he tied his season high with 23. Team high in scoring, which he's done this before this season, and it's always weird when he does, but the Rockets have this like this balanced approach across the board, which kind of sometimes bites them in the ass, because they don't necessarily have like a hierarchy of like knowing, you know, who their dog is, who their go-to guy is. It almost seems like on any given night, Jayshon Tate, KPJ, Christian Wood, Eric Gordon, like all feel like they're the man on any given night. And so sometimes they have this incredible balanced attack like they did tonight. And a guy like Gary Bird randomly ends up being the high scorer, the only one that scored more than 20 points. And some nights it works against them. But man, Garrison Matthews, there were 2 really big shots in the third quarter. The first one was, I think it was like 66 or 67 to maybe like 57. It was 62-57 at the half. They come out, they hit those 2 layup dunks or whatever to Gobert. They ran the same play. He hit that little screen down the middle. They whipped it to the left, and then boom, he rolled down the middle. Easy bucket. 66-57. Right then and there, I'm with you, Ryan. It felt like, okay, here comes the blowout, right? That's what it felt like to me. And then KPJ comes down and hits a 3 and immediately like stunts that, makes it 66-60. And then both teams kind of trade possessions, and the Rockets both teams traded possessions. Then it went 70-60, I think. And then it got up to 75-62. And then I think that's when Gary Bird hit either 1 or 2 threes, but at one point he made it 75-68. And so once he did that, they started clawing back. And without those 2 threes, I think they would have got thumped. And then Armani hits the threes. And, you know, it just, first of all, it speaks to the power of shooting. You know, when these guys are hitting their shots, that's when everything else on the offense works. That's when guys going inside like Tate, guys driving like Josh, that's when that stuff starts to click and come, you know, full circle as like a comprehensive attack. And then second, man, they just give a different energy. You know, Şengün was balling out there on the boards. He hit a 3, which was really awesome. He was moving the ball. You know, it's just like a different type of approach. I would like to see Jalen Green get a crack with this bench unit, because they bring so much energy that I think they could feed off his energy, right? Like, he's so good at running the floor. He's so good at hitting in transition. His energy getting above the rim, like, and the bench unit does that more so than the starters. So I would like to kind of see him running up and down with those guys and learning how to assert himself as well. But yeah, I mean, hats off, dude. Like when you got guys like Armani Brooks and Garrison Matthews that were previously fringe NBA players now coming in and contributing and scoring on runs that end up helping you win a game. Like, what can you say? And then shout out to Josh Christopher, like his physicality and strength for being so young, and his ability to get to the basket, and just his overall maturity, honestly, has really, really been a surprise to me. And it's just like, yo, the only way to go up from here, the only place to go from here is up. So a lot of encouraging stuff.
If memory serves, there were very few assists. Now, I don't have the actual like halftime box score pulled up in front of me, so I'm just going off rip here. But I don't remember seeing hardly any assists from any of the bench guys after that first half of play. And it was really that huge run in the third quarter where the ball movement was there, where they were finding each other. And when you look down, you know, the final box, you've got KJ Martin, who had 4 assists. Alperen Şengün had a couple of assists. Garrison Matthews had a couple of assists. Like, that second unit was really moving the basketball well. And I thought that ultimately what we're kind of seeing with Steven Silas kind of moving around some of the rotations and, you know, substituting certain guys here and there, we're back to seeing Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green being staggered. So we have actually seen Jalen get a kind of a crack with some of the secondary bench guys at that top of the second quarter when he's checking back in. Granted, I think the energy, like you said, Roosh, was a little bit different there in that third quarter when they really sparked that run. And getting to see Jalen kind of operate with some of those guys would probably do him wonders.
Can I say something? So I want to say, I think Jalen Green would benefit a lot from playing more with Şengün than Wood, because Şengün, two reasons. One, Jalen can run a pick and roll. He can actually run a pick and roll decently well. We just haven't gotten to see it enough. Şengün sets great screens and rolls really well. If you look at like Jalen's best passes on the season, a lot of them are to Şengün on the roll. And number two, the way Şengün operates is like he's just waiting for people to move. He'll get that ball and he's just waiting for you to move around. And so it forces people to move. And Jalen doesn't, like, that is one we've seen him on ball, purely on ball so far, right? Or parked off in the corner. But he's fast as hell. He's quick as hell. He can get up. Like, if he just gets a chance to move off the ball, Şengün will find him. So I think there's a lot of chemistry and a lot of potential between those two that's been untapped. And then I also wanted to say Silas, I think, changed up his rotations a little bit tonight, which I thought was kind of interesting. So in the first half, Eric Gordon, Jayshon Tate, Jalen Green went to the bench early for Armani Brooks, KJ Martin, and Garrison Matthews. And at first I was like, I would have put Josh in over Armani Brooks, and Armani missed, I think, his first couple threes or whatever. And so, you know, it was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then it paid off though in the second half. Right. And so, and he also brought Tate, Gordon, and Green back at the end of the first half to close it out. So yeah. I really liked how that worked. Did the same thing in the second half, except Jalen sat, which ended up working out. But so when you kind of look at like how that worked, you see, I think at least the second unit moves the ball around, and also they don't necessarily have shooters. So part of those assists are guys just being left wide open and having to have, you know, the fortitude to take the shot and to be able to knock the shot down. Like, they left KJ Martin open quite a bit. He missed both of his attempts. They left Şengün open. He drilled one. Like, it becomes a matter of guys just having to take the shot that they're not necessarily good at and being able to hit it. So kind of a mix of elements, but I mean, they beat Utah in Utah, man. So like, how can you argue with it?
Yeah, man, that was a huge win. But as far as the second unit, I think that was one of the biggest knocks during that losing streak. And I think we didn't value enough what Armani Brooks being hot looked like, Garrison Matthews being hot looked like. The only one you're missing right now is DJ Augustine in the mix, just because there's a lot of guys. You can't put everybody on the floor. And then keep in mind, we just got Şengün back. He's still not himself, but that second unit intact was really changing games. And I think we finally kind of saw a glimpse of, and I think Coach Silas knew, like, nah, like, let me get these guys back on the floor, because they have a thing going the same way that you said it, Roosh, that Gordon and Tate and those guys are kind of popping off. So nah, like, hey, I'm on par with that. But I thought it was just good to see, like, okay, the guys are back. They're feeling good. And, yes, you know, I brought this up too with Armani Brooks, and we don't know. He was in protocol. Protocol could mean a lot of different things. So we don't know. It could mean he was around people that had COVID.
You were talking about his fatigue and how he caught it twice, right?
Yeah. He could have been around people that had COVID, or he could have really been like out, or like, you got some asymptomatic dudes that are like, bro, like, let me go hoop right now. So we don't know how he felt, but he looked like, okay, he was back on it today.
You know, I want to follow up, because Roosh, you mentioned kind of like the pecking order situation earlier, and Steven Silas actually talked about that pregame before this game against the Jazz. So I want to circle back to that point, because I want to talk about a little bit about Jalen Green and kind of that dynamic. And we're going to get there after a quick message from
real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I just to put an exclamation point on it.
Derailing my segment. It's okay.
That's what I do, baby. I just sneak right in there because I don't give a damn. 9 of 18 from three off the bench. Like, that's huge. 9 threes off your bench. That's 27 points off the bat. A lot of teams may not even average 27 points off the bench for the season. So cannot understate that. And also 22 of 45 for the team from three on the season. Probably a season high, but I'm not sure.
I don't even know if that's a season high, because during the win streak, they had some really high shooting game or high percentage games from three during that 7-game win streak. So it might not actually be a season high, surprisingly, because when they went away from the double big lineup, their like shooting percentages skyrocketed. But want to talk about the kind of like hierarchy in the Rockets lineup on the floor to close games. Jalen Green not being out there to close that one. And we're going to get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Make a little bit of money with Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. Wherever you listen to this podcast, you can go check out Locked On Bets. Now, Roosh, you brought up a really good point, and something that we've kind of discussed a little bit on this very podcast intermittently, is kind of this Rockets team. It at times feels like there's not necessarily like a hierarchy in like who's the first option, second option, that kind of thing. And at times it works, and at times it's, you know, kind of they shoot themselves in the foot because of it. But pregame, Stephen Silas was asked about that, about how difficult is it to have a group of young guys like this with no clearly defined like pecking order, and what's that like out there? And Stephen Silas's answer was really illuminating. And I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the video ready to run back, unfortunately, but it was something along the lines of, you know, just it allows the team to really share the basketball, and it's really encompassing what Silas's vision is for this team, right? Where they move the basketball around really well. They move it side to side. And in moments, right, at the end of games, when going gets tough, when it's crunch time, yeah, it might mean that he maybe needs to call a specific play for a specific guy to get guys in certain spots, that kind of thing. But overall, throughout the flow of a game, it's more open so that anybody can kind of get it going. And Ryan, I wanted to get your opinion on that. What's, you know, as a former player, what's that like to have kind of that openness from a coach to basically, you know, go out there and have the understanding that it could be anybody's night on any given night?
You really got to like each other and enjoy yourself as a team. I think the closest experience I probably came as far as like 10 guys deep was the Lob City Clippers. When I played with that unit, our second unit, we get in and we would pride ourselves, like we would challenge ourselves, like, yo, we're going to blow this team the heck out, and our starters are never, ever going to come back in the game. Like, that's what we were on. But any of our guys could have gotten going. And, you know, Jamal Crawford came off the bench, Matt Barnes, Eric Bledsoe. So any of us, we knew that we just played hard, we enjoyed ourselves, and that could happen. And it's really fun when you play basketball with that type of, like playground type, old school, you know, like pickup ball type of, like, yo, whoever's hooping, we're on mentality. And it's rare to see in the NBA. Now, Roosh, you mentioned this earlier. It is kind of scary because we don't have, like, that guy. Like, we don't have that LeBron that's going to get you, and there's only one of them, 27-7-7, and we know if I do this, this, and this, we win. You take a lot of pressure off of the rest of the role players. We have a lot of pressure on all of our role players, if that makes sense. All of our guys are almost role players, and then Kevin Porter Jr. is like, he's a part-time kind of like superstar stud in those moments. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we're probably the scariest team in the league for any opposing coach to play against, because you don't know what is going to happen or what we're going to show up and end up being. But it is fun basketball when you buy in like that. And I think Stephen Silas, he's just like so cerebral, so smart. So he's that type of coach that can teach that, because it is hard getting guys to buy in like that. But it's just scary watching, because I don't know how to scout a guy like Garrison Matthews. Bro, he took so many shots tonight. Yo, Roos. We watched on the film. He walked across half court, and Kevin Porter was like, here, bro. And he just launched in and shot it. We're like, bro. Like,
he called like, that pass from KPJ. He called that. He was like walking across half court, and he like pointed at KPJ because there was like no defender like anywhere within 10 feet of him. And he was like, he hollered over at KPJ, and KPJ noticed that there. And so he just whipped him the pass.
Hey, but do you know why he does that, though? You know why he does that is because it's so hard for him to get open. Yeah.
We got the bird call from Ryan Holland. Yes.
it's so hard for him to get open, right? He's got to work so hard, run around, run off screens just to get that little bit of space so he could do his like contorted body twist shot, because he can't create for himself off the dribble at the NBA level. So when he's like that wide open, he's just like, yo, give me, like, I don't care where I am. If I'm across half court and they leave me open, I'm about to bust it. And he hit at least two of them tonight, you know?
It's scary, though, because I wouldn't know how to react playing with Garrison, like as a player, because he will airbank that bad boy. He will shoot that thing into the stands, but that's the system. And like, when he makes it, you're like, like get it's it I, like don't get too crazy, fam. It's on some like Clay and Steph type stuff when well, he gets hot.
It's crazy.
The question is, right? Am I crazy for saying that, Rouge?
No. I mean that's what I'm saying. Like to play with him, you just gotta trust his ass. Like you can't second guess. You just gotta whip him the ball.
Because and if he's got it, he's got it. It's like cheating.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, right. You're saying it's on some Clay and Steph stuff. It's funny. Shout out Adam Abramson on Rockets Twitter, who posted a Photoshop of the real Splash Bros. And it was Garrison Matthews and Armani Brooks photoshopped over Steph and Clay. And that was some quality meme.
Hey, what if he
there.
Learns how to hit that? Like the thing about Clay was like Clay was hit Steph, they were hitting that every time you left them open. Like they're like Jackson. What if he starts hitting that? What if that's like, no, that's automatic. Like, boom.
I mean, it got to a point where it feels like it. The difference with Steph is Steph can pull it off his own handle. So like that's where you're just like, I don't even know how to guard you, because if you're gonna cross me over, step back and hit it from like 35 feet, there's nothing I can do. But Garrison, it's about the defense. Two things. One, he's got to shake him coming off screens or running around or whatever. Or it's about the defender just losing focus and forgetting, like, oh, he's a shooter. I can't leave this guy, you know. But to kind of to your point about what you're talking about earlier with like how it's like a group of role players, it's almost like when you go to the gym and you're hooping, right? And there's like this squad. I'm talking about tonight, Utah versus Houston specifically, because Utah's a good team. And there's a squad of like guys and, you know, they're good and they're running the court. And then this like ragtag group of randoms comes on and somehow beats them. And you're like, how did we just lose to those guys? You know, but it's like they all knew and they were moving the ball and they were just kind of like randomly hitting threes, even though you didn't think they were gonna. It's just one of those things, you know, and so that's why I said like it plays to the Rockets' favor when they're all on the same page. But then sometimes they get discombobulated and that lack of pecking order kind of like peeks its head out. I did want to say one thing. I think you touched on this, Jackson. Throughout the season, I've been a proponent of playing Jalen Green as much as possible, because a lot of what this season means to me, at least, is about, yo, is Jalen Green, watching him take that step, right? Or watching the growing pain so he has the reps to take those steps, especially because there's been some games where the Rockets get blown out and it's like, yo, he's only played 27 minutes. You might as well play him like 35 minutes tonight and just like let him get some reps, even if it's against third string, whatever. I saw a lot of people.
I've heard you say that a lot. I've seen you say that a lot.
Yeah. And like, you know, that's been my position. But tonight, Silas didn't play him. He played 23 minutes. And I saw a lot of people complaining about that. But I'm actually with Coach Silas tonight. I mean, Jalen didn't have it. He was playing bad. I tweeted about how he was playing bad. He looked kind of shook from Gobert, honestly. Like, he was finished. There were a couple finishes he had, layup finishes that, like, Benny the Jet, bro, just, you know, I don't know if y'all remember seeing Mighty Ducks. The dude that played Benny the Jet is in Mighty Ducks, and his whole character is about like skating super fast and he can't stop and he just crashes into the wall. And so it's kind of like that. Jalen was just going full speed and just throwing the layup up, and it would just hit the backboard and like fly. It wasn't even close. And I was like, maybe he shook, you know? So he was just playing bad and they went with the winning lineup.
Rudy Gobert is a force, bro.
Yeah.
The first time you see Rudy, you're like, yo, what the heck? Like, there's nothing like him in the league.
Yeah, he's enormous.
Keep in mind, we got blasted by Utah the first time that the Rockets saw him.
Yeah. I mean, to finish over a guy like Rudy Gobert, you got to use, like, you have to either fade or you have to go up and under, or you have to have some type of kind of alternative move. If you just go right at him, it's probably not going to end well unless you climb and dunk, but which Russell Westbrook did the other night, funny enough. But I just wanted to defend Coach Silas because I thought it was the right move. Jalen didn't have it going. The team made a comeback once Jalen went to the bench, and they sustained it, you know. And I mean, they played like they took some of Utah's best shots in that fourth quarter, and they kept coming back. And that was a really, really cool sign to see. And so, you know, Jalen didn't have it tonight, but it was the right move. Rockets won. And so I think there are nights where you got to prioritize, like in a close game like this, you got to prioritize the result and the win and what that does for the team and all the other 11 players on the team over just one guy. So I kind of wanted to just touch on that.
No, it's a really great point that you bring up there, Roosh, because this is actually not even the first time that we've seen Coach Silas do this. And I was a firm proponent of the last time that he did this. If y'all remember, unfortunately, they didn't convert it into a W the last time he did it, but it was against Denver in that really close game against Denver earlier in the season that they wound up losing. Jalen Green wound up sitting on the bench at the tail end of that game. And a lot of Rockets fans were really upset, right? For a lot of the reasons that you just alluded to, which is, you know, oh, Jalen should be in there. He needs all the reps he can get. But I do think there's something to be said for in a game like this, the gravity of the game coming away with the win. And when you have a guy who's playing as well as he was in Garrison Matthews off the bench, Garrison Matthews played the final 19 minutes of this game straight. Steven Silas talked about it post game, basically saying that he kept looking for moments where like Matthews was like, you know, hand on it, you know, hands on his knees, like, you know, struggling to breathe, like not, you know, needing to check out of the game. And it never happened. Like, and then Garrison talked about it and he was like, no, you know, just, I was good out there. You know, the 19 minutes straight didn't kill me. He was like, I was catching my breath during timeouts and stuff. Like I was good. And just the way that he was playing in this game, it's unfortunate that Jalen struggled. Garrison Matthews had it going, but I'm in your camp, Roosh. I think Steven Silas.
Hey, can I throw this
right
out
call.
There?
Yeah. What's up?
Did everybody forget that Garrison Matthews' body is probably beat to shreds after that Kings game?
I know you didn't forget, Ryan, because he's got one arm, one hip, a bad back, and he still hit that shot.
Hey, Ryan, his body's beat to shreds after every game. That dude takes punishment. Like,
that's why he was probably just shooting it quick. Like, yo, I can't even put it on the floor today. Like, just get like, and here's the thing, yo. If everyone plays well, you have a fine performance. And Jalen Green, who was, I think, a minus 14 the last I checked, goes in and the team loses that game. What message? You're going to lose the locker room. What message are you sending to the locker room? Because if you tell everybody you're tanking, you know what you're going to start getting? A bunch of selfish guys going out to get theirs because they're going to go into self-preservation mode and be like, yo, when I'm on the floor, I'm not going to play winning basketball no more. But when you make the right choice, you can preserve the locker room. And just unfortunately, Jalen didn't have it going. There's no disrespect to when Jalen is going, he's not going to come out the game. Like, I'm against the notion of, I'm not a coach, I'm speaking on behalf of myself and with Steven Silas. And I don't know what he was thinking. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and what I see. If you play well, you deserve minutes. And obviously, as much as you can, you're going to get Jalen on the floor. I don't think even to a player, anybody's tripping off that. You know that. But when you sacrifice the integrity of the game, and if you end up losing, you lose the locker room, and you don't want that. Because at the same time, you want Jalen to have a value in, like, dog, I got to earn the minutes. Like, to me, Jalen, you're going to play first half, and you're going to start guaranteed. Now, are you going to finish? I don't know. And I think he should have to earn that. He's going to be on the floor, so to say that his development – in the next game, like, keep it real, Garrison may sit out. Eric Gordon – sure as heck probably might sit out. Like, guys are getting sat so that players can play valuable minutes. So the pace that Coach Steven Silas wants to play at, you can only play between 15 and 25 minutes at that pace if you play as hard as he really asks you to play. Am I wrong? He's trying to run and defend the way he's trying to defend, you can't play more than 15 or 25 minutes. Keep it above. Jayshon Tate is just a freak. And what's the average in Jackson? Probably about 25 minutes a game?
29, I think.
29. 29 or 30. And he's just built different, guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, to your point, I think you're absolutely right. Like, as fans, you know, we sit there and we look at the box score and we watch the game and we hop on Twitter. And, like, to us, it's all just this thing that we're, like, observing. And so – we're like, okay, I would do this differently, or maybe I would do this differently. But there's 11 other players on that roster. And if in a close game, you can bet your butt that those boys want to win that game. And so in a close game against a good team on the road like Utah, where they're like, yo, we really want to win this game. If they look around and say, why did Jalen go back in? He was playing bad, and like Garrison had it going, and we were on a roll. Like, you know, do we just lose this game so that Jalen could get 8 extra minutes? Like, that has an effect on the mental of the teammates, right? Like, these guys have egos. They have the, you know, everyone made it to the league. No one's like, oh, hey, here's number 2 pick. Roll out the carpet. Cool. You know, like, they're trying to get their own, you know? Some of these guys just got deals for the first time. Like, everything is cherished. Nothing is for granted. So I totally agree with you. You could lose the locker room if you're just prioritizing one guy. And that doesn't work for Jalen, because now, like, it's almost like people are upset with him, even though he's not the one that checked himself into the game, you know, coached.
Hey, Roof.
Yeah.
Check this. Imagine, I'm going to give you this, like, at your workplace. We've all done stuff in life. Let's say you have a job, and your job is you just punch in and you make, you know what I'm saying, $20 an hour, right? Or let's say you have a job where you're going to make $15 an hour, but you get the commission on how hard you work or how many sales you make. You're going to be, during your time, you're going to be punching it because you're like, dang, more money, more money, more money, more money, versus I clock in $20 an hour. I'm set. Like, you want to show and prove. So there's a value where you don't want Jalen Green also going, ah, fam, I'm playing 30 minutes no matter what. And now he's just doing, and I'm not saying he's doing that or he wasn't playing hard. Don't take that by any mistake. You want him to value those minutes. And I'm not saying he doesn't, but you want those minutes valued. And
you got to motivate him. You got to incentivize him, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
And we're going to be able to look at this as like Jalen's going to be able to turn back and look at this, and they're going to be able to go back and look at the film, see exactly where he was struggling against Rudy Gobert. And I think something that we saw James Harden wind up having to add to his game, you know, in the latter years here in Houston, was that little like floater that he had that he perfected to be able to counter when there was a big like Rudy Gobert who would just camp down in the paint. And he needed to be able to finish over him. And so I think that's something that Jalen doesn't quite have in his bag yet, right? So, Roosh, you talked about kind of some of the struggles with the layups right at the rim, right? If he had a little float or a little teardrop or something in his game or a little bit more consistency with the mid-range pull-up, then he wouldn't have to drive it all the way in when you've got a Rudy Gobert or, in previous games, right, a Joel Embiid camping down in the paint waiting for you at the rim. So these are going to be learning opportunities for Jalen where he's going to realize, okay, I was having a bad game. That's fine. Right? How does he respond to this bad game? Does he sit down with Coach Silas and go over the film and get better? Because everything that we've known that we know about Jalen Green so far, that's exactly what's going to happen. He'll take this as a learning opportunity and get better from it.
Yeah, and let me just throw this out there to anyone listening. You may or may not have seen my tweet comparing him to Jordan Clarkson. So I just want to inject that into the recording. But he's got a ways to go. Right? He's got some incredible skills and incredible talents. Like when his three ball's on and when he's confident in his driving lanes and he's hitting that first step, like, he looks great. And then on nights like tonight where the three ball's not there and he's not able to finish at the rim, he struggles. I would like to see him, and this also goes hand in hand with the discussion about the pecking order, right? In that starting lineup in the pecking order, it really feels like he's fourth or fifth. He might take more shots than people, but in terms of the like having action run for him and guys looking for him, it feels like he's got to go. Like when he gets the ball, he's got to go. Otherwise, guys aren't moving with him. They're just like watching him ISO. And it's really tough to kind of get in your flow when you feel like the 19-year-old rookie that may or may not be in the bottom or the top of the pecking order or whatever, and you really don't know your place. If he was on the bench, I almost want to see him come off the bench a couple times just to see if it changes the flow for him, if he's able to be more confident, more assertive, if guys are looking for him more, if he doesn't feel like he's just got to stand in the corner and wait for the play to develop because KPJ's got the ball and Christian Wood wants the ball and Eric Gordon's over there and whatever. And it give him a chance to play with Şengün a little bit more, who I think is a good kind of pairing for him. So I don't know. We've seen when the Rockets have spacing, you get like a Garrison Matthews on fire early. It can really change things. So I'm interested to see if Jalen Green off the bench has like a microwave, like score, like come in, get your shots up, boom, boom, put up 12, 15 real quick, you know, in a half. If that might have some effect and also help him build his confidence as he continues to go. Cause that's the one thing. It looks like his confidence wavers, right? It looks like sometimes it's there and he's ready. And then sometimes he's like wanting to make a move, but he's not sure. And so he kicks it back over to KPJ and then drifts back to the corner. So he's got a ways to go, but I just want to see him build some more confidence.
And let me put this out here. Let me give this perspective. The Rockets are a $1 billion organization, franchise that has plans on winning a championship, not just a 50-win season. There's so much invested into these guys that you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes and visions.
Right.
Where you're looking at the players, you're looking how the front office is making moves on long-term players, short-term players, what's best moving forward, what you want to see in a five-game span, what you want to see in a month, what you want to see for the entire year. There could be a move made tomorrow that opens up all – we got 9 shooting guards on our roster that opens all that up. We don't know. Coach Steven Silas watches hours of films. We have a scouting department that watches hours of film. We have coaches, we have video coordinators saying, this is good, this is the, and is shooting stats and analytics and all this stuff together. And then you have this team of players who you don't know what's gonna happen on each and every night from them, as much as we wanna guarantee what we know. And finally, Garrison Matthews is rolling. So it's like, you're not going to take him out of the game. So I just think that we have to trust what is going on. I don't want to say trust the process because this ain't the process, baby. But you have to, right? You have to trust what is going on. And there's factors that you don't see. And before you think that coach is an idiot or doesn't know what he's doing or there's no vision, all this and that, and you don't understand this, the key is you don't understand it. And there's a lot of reasoning. There's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of data. There's a lot of video supporting the things that are happening. And at the same time, at the end of the day, it's basketball. So if your teammate is rolling, dog, he got to play. He's rolling.
And let me piggyback that to say.
And hold on, Roosh. And we would be steaming somewhat if we lost that game. Like we'd be steaming if we lost. Jalen was a minus 14.
Bro, yes.
Like let's feel good at what we saw.
And let me tell you, if they put Jalen Green back in the game and then the Jazz went on a run and sealed it off, the discourse from the fan base would be really bad, right?
You already got some people calling him a darn. He's 19 years old. I don't even hate when people try to say he's a bust. He's 19, bro. Yeah.
So
still getting used to traveling and packing his toothpaste in his bag and showing up for practice on time. Like
Ryan, he still weighs less than I do. I say this all the time because it blows my mind. I don't know how it's the truth, but it's the truth.
A year and some change ago, he was in high school.
Yeah.
He was in high school.
Yeah. Right.
Jackson hasn't been in high school. When did you graduate? Jackson ain't seen high school in how long?
Don't age me on my own show, man. Hey, come on. Yo, don't be doing that to me, Ryan.
Like, this is your little brother, like, hooping in the league. Like, you got to understand how young he is, man.
He hasn't even been an adult without a pandemic yet, I don't think. So
he can't even get in the club.
Look, he can't buy a drink.
If they're selling a beverage, he got to put the little band on, the little green band, and be like, yo, make sure he doesn't drink. Like, he can't even walk through the casino in Vegas. They're like, hey, go to your room.
Let me piggyback off what you said about the organization having a plan, because this applies to everyone, including myself, right? We sit here and criticize.
I like accountability, Bruce. I like that.
Hey, I'm big on that because I mess up all the time. I'm not perfect. It's just about how you react and take accountability. So we criticize, right? But we do not, like, Rafael Stone sits down with his team. I know that they have data. I know that they have models for, you know, they run things through system models and they make determinations partially based off that. They've got, obviously, Tillman Fertitta is at the top. I really don't think he's involved in like much of the day-to-day, but my point is they have a whole top to bottom team, coaching staff, assistant coaches, trainers, blah, dietitians, you name it, right? So they go forward with the plan, and sometimes the plan doesn't work, but you can't, and this applies to me too, we can't expect them to just switch their plan on the fly, on the go, because we're pissed off about being down 17 to the Denver Nuggets in the third quarter. Like, that's not how it works. It's the same way that a football coach isn't going to yank his starting quarterback because, you know, they're getting whooped. Like, maybe they will, but like, they've got a plan. Most of the times they've got a plan. They got their rookie in. They're just wanting to see the rookie and like how he's working and whatever the fuck, you know, they're not going to pull the rookie for the veteran so that they can go out there and try to change the game in the middle of the second quarter. Cause like, that's not what they practiced all week. That's not what the plan was. That's not what the organizational plan was. So I do think fans, including myself, need to really kind of get a better understanding of that fact that, you know, I would imagine this. I have not spoken to Rafael Stone, but I would imagine that he's just sitting there watching the game thinking, okay, well, it's not working, but we'll go back to the drawing board. And like, it's as simple as that. Like, they're not freaking out game to game, quarter to quarter, the way that we do. But when our proximity to the team and to the game is confined to just watching 82 games, we don't get to see the behind the scenes. We don't get to see the practices. We don't interact with these people. We don't have their data. We're not the ones getting phone calls from the Memphis Grizzlies GMs or the Lakers GMs saying, hey, who's available for trade or whatever. We don't know, you know? So we have to keep that in mind and just take it game to game. Like, some games go the way we want. Some games don't go the way we want. And quite frankly, that's life, you know? So we just got to get used to it.
And this game went exactly the way that we wanted it to, with the Rockets coming out on top 116-111 against the Jazz. Again, it was a lot of different great storylines, a lot of really solid performances across the board for this Rockets team. And hey, it's always good to beat the Utah Jazz in Utah, right? That's always a great feeling. Vernon Maxwell was getting those tweets off after the game. It was beautiful. It's always a sight to behold when Mad Max gets those happy Twitter fingers going. But Ryan, any parting words for the Rockets fans listening to the show?
Oh man, you guys' support has been amazing. It is second to none. I can't thank everybody enough. It's been a blast. Forgive me, guys. You know, I get really excited on air. You see, it's genuine. Me and Craig get going, and I think we're like we might be like two fans sitting there at the game watching, and we're really invested in these guys because we're just excited to see the work that we're putting in. But I just want everybody at home to trust in Coach Steven Silas and trust that Jalen Green is not going to be a worse player because he didn't play in the fourth quarter. He's going to end up being as amazing as he's going to be. And don't look at the next rookie over there, because there's a rookie struggling right now, looking garbage, okay? Struggling, all right? Whose team is losing, and he's mentally in it. Guess what? When you win, everybody's feeling good. When you lose, it's a bad energy around everywhere. So those wins are vital. But hang with what we're seeing. And let's take these victories and let's just like cherish them, fam. And like for Jackson, Roosh, we've already like that winning streak, that historical winning streak after losing 15 straight, like that's gold for us. Like we're low key good for the year and we get these wins and then we just got three out of the last four. Like, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add to that point, man, when it was 1-15 or 1-16 or whatever it was, you know, and we were like, yo, this team might like never win again. This might be like, they might rival the worst teams in NBA history. Yo, we're at 14 wins. Like we're right on track for a rebuild. You know, it's like looking like just a normal, like losing season. So I agree with you. And then to the point of you and Craig on air, I did agree with you that Craig said it's not close. He said Rudy Gobert is their best player and it's not close. I don't agree with that. He might be their best player, but it is close. I think Donovan Mitchell makes it close. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, Jackson, thanks for having us, man. I think we went really long. So thanks for not stopping us or curbing us. And, you know, it's always fun to talk about a win. Always fun to talk about beating Utah. And, you know, let's just keep it moving, man. We'll see what's next. I'm excited to watch these guys. And I'm just excited to see them continue to grow. And trade deadline's looming. And there's rumors that Houston's a seller. So we'll see what's going to happen. It might not be the same team. So enjoy it while it's here.
Great sign off. Roosh, Ryan, appreciate you guys being able to make time to come here on the podcast. It's always a great time having you guys here to talk Rockets hoops. If you haven't checked it out yet, please go check out the Noble and Roosh show by ballislife.com. Wherever you listen to your podcast, that's where you can catch Roosh and his co-host Zach. And you already know where you can find Mr. Ryan Hollins on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. And you're going to get him on every single Houston Rockets broadcast. Guys, I appreciate you taking time to be here today.
Appreciate it, brother.
Okay.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked on Rockets. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also now on YouTube, search Locked on Rockets on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all of that. What was your favorite moment from this Rockets win on the road in Utah against the Utah Jazz? Let us know in the YouTube comments. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.